It was about a year and a half ago that I just started playing with AI to see if it could expedite. And oh my goodness, it blew my mind. It took me from things that took 3 weeks. Well, Jonathan, you know, now that same research we can do in 15, 20 minutes. So 3 weeks versus 20 minutes. I mean, we have had an AI sales revolution, a complete revolution. And sadly, like according to the Washington Post, just 6 weeks ago, they put out a report that 80% of today's workforce, not only are they not using AI, but they don't see the value. To the team members, this is going to enhance you. This is going to make you relatable, in demand. This is going to increase your resume value. Like whenever you can put on there that you know AI and you know how to use it, this is only going to help you. I tell everyone the one way, especially as a Gen Xer, as a woman who sees a lot of my friends that have been key executives throughout my life are now getting aged out. My one piece of advice to everyone is learn technology, learn AI, because in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, this will be the most important skill set, the most in-demand skill set. And so this is how we stay relevant and in demand in a workplace that's always changing.
Hi, and welcome to the 91 Day AI Transformation Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Mast, and today I've got with me Violet. Violet and I have met actually through my Facebook group that I have, and we've had the opportunity to work together on some various trainings and things like that, and I'm really excited today to be able to share some of her story and get to know her just a little bit better as we dive in. So Violet, thank you for your time today. Thanks for joining us. For those that maybe aren't familiar with you, would you give us just a little bit of background on you and who you serve?
Absolutely. My name is Violet Rainwater, and a lot of people often ask me, is that your real name? So yes, that is my real name. It's not a stage name, but I am a sales architect and the founder of The Rainmaker's Way, a sales training and development organization. And I've been in sales 25 years. I knew I wanted to be in sales while I was in college, which I know you don't hear very often, but I just had a passion and a love for making money at a young age. And with sales, the sky is the limit. So that was my motivation. About a decade ago, I started my own consulting company after being in corporate sales on 100% commission in a very cutthroat industry and having a really nice track record. I finally wanted to take that knowledge and teach people what I call the Rainmaker's Way, because my nickname was the Rainmaker. And so that's what I do today. I teach and I implement. So as a consultant, I build sales systems and processes, and I always use AI. I love using AI throughout that. But I also teach workshops and do sales training, really just leading up this AI sales revolution, which, you know, we're all a part of right now.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. You probably heard what I have. It seems that most people, when they think AI in sales, they think, okay, fire the salespeople, let the AI do the sales job. And yet I don't think that's the right solution for hardly anybody. Talk to us and share a little bit with our audience, Violet. How do you integrate AI with sales and do that effectively without just getting rid of the salespeople? And I am one, so I know that we're a pain in the butt. I get that. But, you know, how do you integrate AI and what is that result? What's that look like for an organization?
Yeah, well, salespeople are my people. Like, I understand them on a cellular level. And I'll share with you how I came across using AI, because I think it's really important. You know, I, like many, was skeptical and like, oh my God, what is this thing? And what, you know, what is it for? And is it going to take my job and my business? But what I started doing is, as a sales architect, I build out sales systems and processes. So I build out the CRM, the touch points, I bring the LinkedIn strategy, all the things to really create increased brand awareness, fill up the pipeline, increase closing ratios. And it was about a year and a half ago that I just started playing with AI to see if it could expedite. And oh my goodness, it blew my mind. It took me from things that took 3 weeks, like whenever I started with a client, my old proposals gave me 3 weeks for research to come up with the strategy, to come up with the target market analysis, because I did very deep research. Well, Jonathan, you know, now that same research we can do in 15, 20 minutes. So 3 weeks versus 20 minutes. Like, wow. It was a no-brainer. And so I started using it more and more. And I have something called the Wheel of Sales, which is essentially like every stage of the sales process, from research to prospecting to nurturing to closing to retention. And what I love is showing people how they can use AI in every stage of the sales process. And so, as you know, with AI, this cannot be done without the salesperson. It needs our experience. It needs our insights. It needs, you know, the thoughts that we have, because it's a co-creative process. And so now that's what I help business leaders with and their sales teams. And sometimes they don't have sales teams. Sometimes all they have is AI. But never am I looking at AI to replace it. I'm looking at it to elevate what we're already doing.
Well, I love what you shared there. And I think it's so relevant, and that, you know, AI needs the salesperson. The human is necessary in that. In fact, I have always said that AI amplifies skill and experience. Yeah. So if you take a great sales rep and give him AI or her AI, superstar. If you take an average sales rep and you give him AI, you're probably going to get a pretty darn good sales rep out of it. But if you just take AI, it's not going to have the same impact. It's not going to work as well. Talk to me about the landscape. So I know you work, again, with different organizations and helping them do that. What types of things, just not all the details, but what does it look like when you incorporate AI in with your sales team? What types of things does that mean? I mean, are we talking agents that are taking calls and that type of stuff and sending it over? Are we talking tools for the sales rep? Are we talking data analysis that helps them make better decisions? What does that look like in the normal client for you, Violet?
Yeah. And, you know, that's the beauty of AI. Like, all the things you named, that could be part of it. That's not really my specialty. I'm actually learning agents right now. And maybe if you ask me in a few months, that could be one of the things. But because I specialize in B2B, very high ticket, usually professional services, whether it's architects or attorneys or, you know, someone that has a very high value offer, I like to combine AI with that personal old school touch as well. So here's an example of what that might look like. We'll use AI to do deep research, right? So I'll use Storm to really get that research and those numbers, the statistics from the Stanford database that I need. I'll use Perplexity, and maybe on Storm, I'll ask, what are the benefits of this? And then on Perplexity, I'll say, well, what are the pain points of this? And then I'll put all that into a custom GPT that has been trained on my brand to come up with a very detailed target market analysis, ideal client persona, SWOT analysis. Those three pieces of paper is the foundation that I feed into any AI tool that I use when I'm creating content for that customer. And so we're able, like, just from that perspective, we're able to do deep research and create messaging that is so on brand, as well as on pain points and the things that hook, you know, the prospect that they're trying to get in front of. Another thing is LinkedIn. You know, I've been a content creator on LinkedIn for 10 years, and I have been burned out more often than not. Like, I literally just came back from a year and a half hiatus, because it, you know, there was a time I was posting 5 new videos every single week when nobody was doing videos. I mean, this is like 7 or 8 years ago. And so I made a lot of mistakes on LinkedIn, but that's what makes me an expert on LinkedIn and what
absolutely
works.
Absolutely. And real.
Yes. Yes. And so I help my clients create that digital footprint. So one of my secret sauces is getting them a LinkedIn newsletter. And we use AI for every stage of that process, from creating the name to creating the actual topics to creating the actual article, you know. And so we use it with my clients in every step of their sales process. So those are just a couple of ideas of how I use AI with my clients.
I love that. And thanks for sharing the details. I think that'll help a lot of our audience better understand what that could look like. Talk to me about the sales reps. How are they? Are they embracing this? Are they against it? I'm sure you've got both sides, but what are you generally seeing from the salespeople that you're working with when you start implementing some of these tools?
Their minds are blown. Like, their mind, whether I'm
they're
working
like, no
with
way.
A business. Yeah. Like, what? Like literally their minds are blown. Last week I had a couple live workshops where I was teaching business owners from various industries of various sizes how they can use AI to drive sales. So they weren't salespeople specifically, but none of them had seen anything that I went over. Like they were just using, if they were using it, they were just going into ChatGPT and like, help me write this email. You know, like the very basic.
Absolutely.
None of them had really looked at the research aspect and how to stack AI, use different AI tools to come up with a much better quality of product. You know, they never looked, seen Gamma, you know, so all these tools were new for them. And so literally their minds were blown because although they've heard AI speakers, it's, you know, either cybersecurity or the deep stuff that has nothing to do with their bottom line. Like, why do they care? Like, why do they care about that AI stuff when it doesn't do anything to the bottom line? So as you know, sales is the driving force of every business. When they start incorporating AI into their driving force, I mean, it's like, you can't, it's not even like a little bit better. It's night and day. I mean, we have had an AI sales revolution, a complete revolution. And sadly, like according to the Washington Post, just 6 weeks ago, they put out a report that 80% of today's workforce, not only are they not using AI, but they don't see the value. Like,
it's so interesting. I saw that same report and it's like, You and I both know it's because they haven't tried it. That is the only possible reason that they don't see the value is they haven't tried. Or they tried it and of course, didn't give it context or enough relevancy, and therefore, it didn't make any sense. But yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I saw that same thing. The neat thing about that to me, though, is as a business owner, that means that there's a tremendous opportunity for me to leap ahead of my competition, because if only 20% of the people are even acknowledging it might be helpful, we know that out of that, less than half are probably using it effectively.
Right.
That means that 90% of my competition is not taking care of the clients in the best way possible.
That's right.
Not providing them with the best value. And that opens up tons of opportunity from where I'm sitting at.
100%. We're on the leading edge. You know, like we're in the forefront, we're, you know, so there's no better place to be. But also as educators of AI, it just shows me how much opportunity there is out there, because this isn't just a technology gap that we're seeing. This is an awareness gap, a knowledge gap. And that's what I get to fill because of my passion, my experience, and, you know, my love for AI and bringing the old school with the new school as well.
No, totally agreed. Let's talk on the other end of it. So we've got clients or prospects on the other end. What are you seeing their responses, or maybe they're not even aware of the AI that's happening in the back? But how are you seeing prospects respond to these new AI tools and the ability candidly to let salespeople provide them with more value faster? But what are you seeing the prospects responding with?
Well, let me share with you, I was on a call with a client today, and we use AI to create his LinkedIn newsletter. He really had no LinkedIn presence. He's an architect. He had a very successful firm, but really no outbound sales outreach, no digital presence, no CRM. So I came in, took over as like the fractional chief of sales. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't need someone there full time. And today he shared some feedback with me to kind of give you an idea of his feedback from his prospects. So he went to an event last week, and now we've been creating for 3 months. We've been creating LinkedIn newsletters and LinkedIn posts and really establishing that thought leadership in addition to the CRM outreach that we're always doing. And the one thing he said is everyone's coming up to him and telling him what an amazing job he's doing in LinkedIn. Now, I will say Yeah, it's awesome. It's not hard to rise on LinkedIn if you're in an industry that there's not a lot of you on LinkedIn. And on LinkedIn, we still have that. So there's not a ton of design, interior design, architect firms utilizing and tapping into LinkedIn. And so I saw that as an opportunity. And now he's an influencer on LinkedIn. Like, he's a thought leader. And we even had a great success story. So I think it was about 3 weeks ago, we posted one of his newsletters, and that was on a Wednesday. On Friday, someone found him from that article, went to his website, and his website's optimized. It looks amazing. So, you know, you still need to have those parts, and reached out to him. Yeah, like it doesn't mean it goes away. And now he's quoting out a 1,000-room redesign. So,
wow.
It's amazing what is possible. And we did all of it with AI. All of it was created with AI.
Well, and the thing I love about that, again, is it's helping create more value for your prospect. I've talked about this when I talk to people about creating omnipresence or topical authority. AI can help you create more helpful content that resonates more with your audience, that can actually be more helpful than the content that we either weren't writing, which is the case most of the time, or creating, or the content that we were outsourcing to somebody in Pakistan because we were too cheap to spend real money on it. right. And in those cases, it can add so much value that, like you said, it can turn unbelievable. On a Wednesday, there's a post, and on a Friday, there's a proposal for a 1,000-room deal, which I'm sure is not a bad project for that client.
No, it's huge. It's one of the biggest ones he's had. Yeah.
Yeah, all because adding value, using AI to do that, being in front of people, being where your audience is at, and probably based on what you've described, I'm guessing also because he probably has a better understanding of his audience today using AI than what he did prior to that. Is that accurate? Do you find your clients are understanding their prospects better?
Yeah, because we can do the research and we're always looking at what's hot right now. You know, another strategy that I used with him that was super successful is he had a press release that came out. So we used AI to create a LinkedIn post about the press release and to create an email about the press release. It was our most successful campaign. Like, we had some people opening it 8-9 times. These are decision makers. Decision makers. Yes. And so, you know, it takes today's consumer many bites, many touch points before they bite. But what this does is it's the ultimate sales enablement tool. And for him, who has like 35 years of experience, this is him showing up and simply sharing what he already knows. You know, so we feed into AI, like, his thoughts based on the research. And so what we get is this beautiful piece that adds tremendous value, but simply showcases the experience and the knowledge that comes with 30 plus years of being in business. Mm.
From your perspective, Violet, that business owner or team member, for that matter, that's out there that is looking at AI with trepidation and fear. Mm. Maybe they're worried it's going to take their job if they're a team member, or maybe as a business owner, they're just not sure what to do. They're overwhelmed by it. What type of advice would you have for that? And I guess the two pieces, one for the business owner and two for the team member as it comes to AI. What should they be doing nowadays as we're recording this in, you know, May of 2025?
Yeah, they should be learning it yesterday. I mean, this, if you don't learn AI, your competition will. So, like, it's okay if you don't want to. You're just going to be left behind. This is not something that's optional. Like, oh, you know, maybe we'll allow casual Fridays. It's not that. This is an entire revolution. And so it's kind of like when we started using cell phones. Are you still using a normal phone to call your clients? No. Are you still resisting the technological advances that have happened? Like, when I got into sales, I didn't have a cell phone. I had a pager and a Thomas guide. You know, now I have a brand new toolbox. So my advice would be just start. Just start and find one way that you could use it, because that opens up the door and you're going to find 10 more ways and then 10 more ways. I've never met anyone that tried AI and implemented it. I've never met anyone that I've showed how to do something and they were like, to the team members, this is going to enhance you. This is going to make you relatable, in demand. This is going to increase your resume value. Like, whenever you can put on there that you know AI and you know how to use it, this is only going to help you. I tell everyone, the one way, especially as a Gen Xer, as a woman who sees a lot of my friends that have been key executives throughout my life are now getting aged out. My one piece of advice to everyone is learn technology, learn AI, because in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, this will be the most important skill set, the most in-demand skill set. And so this is how we stay relevant and in demand in a workplace that's always changing.
Yeah. And again, you and I talked about this on Monday, but one of the things that I'm so excited about being a Gen Xer myself is the fact that AI allows us now to become the most valuable person on the team, not just because we're the oldest or not just because we've been around the longest. We're the most valuable because we can leverage AI in ways that, with all due respect to 30-year-olds, that a 30-year-old can't because they just haven't had as much experience. And I think that's the first time in my life, at least, that technology has come in that actually is more beneficial to us when we're not wet behind the ears, as opposed to maybe we're a little more seasoned in what we're doing.
100%. 100%, Jonathan, because this is an opportunity of a lifetime that no generation prior to us had. The generations before us just had to get aged out. You know, like sadly, they just got aged out. Well, now this is our secret weapon. You know, this is how we fight back. And I think it's never been easier to be like, you know what? I've built for other people my whole life. Now I'm ready to build my own business. I'm ready to invest in my own dreams. And it's never been easier with AI. That's another reason why I love it, because there, when I was going to school, like I didn't even think about being a business owner. Like no one talked about entrepreneurship in 92 and 93. Like it's more been the thing in the last decade. And so to have this, you know, at any age, it's just an absolute blessing to so many of us that AI is here. And I do believe it's a blessing. I believe that we chose to come at this time frame during this technological wave of advancements, you know, with the skill set that we have growing up as latchkey kids and everything that came with us, because I believe this is the lifeline that so many of us have been praying for. The problem is that a lot of us are just adverse to change. And, you know, what we don't know is hurting us. Like we said, there's that knowledge gap. And so if they could just be open to it and take a look at what's possible. And I think where a lot of people have that trepidation is you'll see like a lot of people saying, drop your best prompt, or here are 10 prompts, or what are the 5 prompts you're working with? And you and I have talked about this. Like when you hear things like that, it sounds like, oh, I have to learn code or I have to learn prompting. No, you don't. You just have to brain dump. You brain dump. Yes. I don't even prompt. I just brain dump. And as a Gen Xer, I can easily brain dump because that's what we do. So just get in there and brain dump and don't worry about the prompting and you will figure it out. You will absolutely figure it out.
Well, and as you said, I think, you know, I've never run into anybody that's taken a few moments to give AI a little information and ask it some relevant questions that has not been blown away. It's never been that's okay. It's always been a, wow, I had no idea. I mean, just a month or two, a couple months ago now, I guess, I was chatting with a peer of mine who I trust. He's actually 10 years younger than me, so he should really not have any problem with it. But he's like, I am not interested in it. It doesn't have any value. I just don't see the reason. And he was looking at me to help him out with some marketing copy. And I said, well, let's take a look at this a minute. And we literally went into ChatGPT. I shared my screen with him and I showed him. And he's like, Did you just do that in like 30 seconds? And I'm like, yeah.
Right. They don't know.
I didn't know it could do that. And I'm like, well, you didn't know because you haven't tried it. You haven't.
That's right.
You haven't experimented. And I think that's one of the great things. And one of the things I teach so many people when they're learning AI, you know, don't worry about certification programs. And we can talk about that in a moment, why I believe that. Don't worry about getting reading up on everything and getting, AI is changing so fast. Just get started, get involved, and start using it on a daily basis. You know, we've got our phones, like we've got AI on, we've got our computers, we've got our tablets. There's no reason to be away from it. And I think as you do that, you'll find yourself using it so much more.
I'll
give you an example today. I need to lose some weight. So I've been walking. I was just at a conference and I'm too sedentary. I spend too much time on Zoom. And so one of the speakers said, you know, he needed to do the same thing. He started walking. And what he did is he started taking phone call meetings when he was walking instead of Zoom meetings. And I'm like, well, I could do that. Well, today I got started a little early. I didn't have any, but I had to get something done. And so my phone call today for my walk was ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And we carried on a conversation for about 45 minutes while I was walking. But here's the cool thing. It's not just that it kept Jonathan entertained, which it did, but we solved the problem. I got work done. And I got a lot of work done. And then I sent it to my team to implement. And they're like, when did you have time to do this? We're looking at your calendar and, you know, they're like, I'm like, I did it while I was on my walk. And they're like,
yeah.
How do you type and walk? I'm like, I don't type and walk. I just had a conversation.
That's right.
I turned on voice mode and literally chatted with it. And those are opportunities that, again, those didn't even a year ago. I'm not sure we had those voice capabilities, maybe about a year ago. But this is all so brand new. Just start using it. Start playing with it. My wife loves to say, you like AI because you get to play all day long. And I'm like, yeah, and I get paid to do it. It's even better.
That's
so,
right.
Just start using it.
Yeah.
For that person that's wondering, and we've not talked about this, so I don't know. But let's talk a moment about AI in education. At least here in the U.S. where we're at, we're seeing some shifts happening. But as a general rule, the institution of education kind of seems to be going, nope, our students are going to cheat. That's all they're going to do. They can't use it. I see a lot of teachers have different opinions in that, but the institution's not so much. Talk to me about AI in education. Where do you think that's going, and what things do you think we as parents and potentially grandparents, as I am now, should be paying attention to as it relates to AI in education?
Well, I think there's the good and then the not so good, right? Like with anything else. So it's the intention behind it. Do I feel like students need to learn how to use AI? Absolutely, because this is a vital skill set in business. You know, it's just like when we learned how to do long division, like why did we learn how to do long division? Like, how is that helping me? Or, you know, history and science, like none of those things were helpful. I would have been much better off had I learned how to balance my checkbook or fill out a resume.
Well, yes.
You know, those were the skills that helped me. So AI is one of those skill sets. Like, why wouldn't you teach them how to use AI to collaborate and share their thoughts and create content that has their vision and their thoughts, but it's also using AI because that's what they're going to do when they go out into the workplace or start their own business. So I absolutely feel that we need to teach them and incorporate that into the curriculum. Where I have a hard time, and this is more, I think somebody even posted this in your group, Jonathan, AI Prompts for Entrepreneurs. And because I'm a mother and I have a 13-year-old daughter, but that some boys learned how to use AI photo technology, and they created images of some girls at school that were naked, and they looked so realistic, and they distributed it everywhere. And in those situations, it's devastating for the students, for the parents, and there needs to be some grave consequences for these boys. And they're old enough to know the difference between right and wrong. Unfortunately, we don't have any of those rules in place yet because it's so new. You know, a couple months ago, like, we were just learning how to make images. You know, so I think it's, you got to take the good and run with it, but we also have to have some regulations because things like this is going to happen. Like, how do we stop these kids from being able to, you know, I mean, we hear about people committing suicide because of things that are happening online. Somebody pretended to have something. Well, now they have actual tangible things that look like you, tangible pictures of nudity and, you know, things like that. So that's where I struggle. But I think the answer, the solution is to have very strict consequences. Like, we had three strikes, you're out. I think one strike, you're out. Like, one strike, you devastate someone like that, you're going to be doing some jail time. I feel very strongly about that.
Well, I'm not going to disagree at all on that. I think part of the problem we have in the education system today is that we're not having that conversation.
Yeah.
And so those boys in that opportunity are, obviously, they're being boys, but in a bad way. And it's because nobody gave them any guidance, is my guess. My guess is most of those boys, had they thought about what they were doing, knew it was probably not the right thing to do. But because, and I'm assuming here, which I know makes me the south end of a northbound mule, but nobody had a conversation to go, this is wrong. We can't do this. This is not how we use it. Because all they're hearing is, oh, no, we can't use AI, when we know, if you want a kid to do something, just tell them they can't do it. Okay?
Yeah.
Plain and simple. You have a book you don't want your four-year-old to read, put it on the top shelf. They'll
that's
read that
right.
one, you know? And I think that's where we've made a mistake, both and sometimes as parents, but also as educators, in giving the wrong perception and not helping guide, because our young skulls full of mush do need guidance. They do
that's
need
right.
direction, and they do need somebody sometimes to tell them what's right and wrong, because they don't have the experience to really truly understand the devastating effects, as you said, that they may be having on an individual because they haven't gone through that. So no, I totally agree with what you're saying. And I think that I just hope and pray that we see that the education institution starts embracing it as something that we need to teach our students how to use responsibly. Because yeah. an employer, I want them to know how to use it, but that's I also right. want them to know how to use it responsibly. And I want them to know that the same things that don't work at school don't work in the workplace either. You know, we there are some things we just don't do because it's the wrong thing to do. Great feedback.
Just like ChatGPT lies. You know, if someone just uses ChatGPT for an email and uses the statistics that are given, you know, like,
oh, yeah,
that's not the right way to use it because it lies. I loved your post about it lies to you. Not all of your ideas are brilliant. And here yes. I was thinking all my ideas are brilliant.
Well, I'll never forget when my I was getting all intrigued with voice when it first came out. And I was, of course, showing my wife something that I thought was cool that she thought was almost irrelevant. But, you know, that's being married. So that's part of life. But anyway, we're doing it. And she's like, well, I know why you like AI. And I'm like, why? And she goes, it keeps telling you how great your ideas are. And I'm like,
that's right.
Oh, I hadn't really noticed. But yeah, I guess you're right. That's kind of cool, you know. So. Yeah.
And Jonathan, I'd love to ask you because, you know, you're my teacher. I learn from you. I'm always learning from you. How do you like to use AI in sales in ways that I haven't discussed? Are you using agents? Are you using data to track? I mean, I would, because I know that I'm just scratching the surface with what I'm doing. I know there's so much more and it's going to continue changing. So since we're having a sales conversation, I'd love for your insights yeah. and how you're using it and how you're teaching your clients to use it in sales.
Well, part of it boils down to the fact that I'm 56 and have some fairly traditional attitudes about sales. And that leads more than anything else to the fact that I'm not using AI sales agents. I believe that people buy from people, not That's from right. things. Now, I do think there are exceptions. I mean, I buy a lot of stuff on Amazon and don't talk to anybody. And yeah. I would love it if there was an AI bot to occasionally answer questions, recommend products. They've even added that now. That's something that's available. And I have no issue with that. But when we're selling, you know, I sell coaching and training. Other people are selling things. You know, my wife and I just bought a vehicle. Those things, as a general rule, I need to talk to a person as part of that process because I'm buying based on that trust relationship with that individual. And I think that we're going to see some pendulum swings there. As some businesses go in and go, oh, we're going to use agents. And then they're going to go, whoa, we found out that didn't work because that right. relationship, that know, that like, that trust was gone. It's the same reason people ask me all the time, Jonathan, you post on social media all the time. What automations are you using? And I'm like, I'm not. And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I wouldn't go to an event and send a clone. I would go to the event myself because that events, that those connections are important. And that means travel, which I don't always like, and other things, airports, which I never like. But they're worth it because of the fact that I get to engage with people one-on-one, face-to-face. Yeah. And I'm a big proponent of that in sales. So I use AI to do a few things in sales. One, data analysis. I think it's an absolute incredible tool to dig in and find out what things are working and what things are not. And that could be sales, marketing, however you want to relate it. The other is for segmented outreach. You know, in the old days, we had to create one message because we didn't have time enough to segment our audience into the 12 parts or the 13 parts that it should have been segmented in and create separate copy and separate campaigns and all that to sell them because it was simply not plausible or practical to do that.
Yeah.
But now with AI, we can. So I can analyze my customers and I can take a look at things and I can make unique offers based upon experience. You know, we have the ability, for example, this is in the ad campaign, which I'm not an expert at, but we can now determine which people watch how much of a video. And based upon that, if they watch 25 seconds of a video, we can know that we're going to target them with a different offer than we're going to target the person that didn't watch 25 seconds. That type of segmentation and personalization, I think, is really going to be where the sales teams embrace AI and have the most impact, not by replacing them with agents. You know,
that's
customer
right.
service may be different. I mean, if I need to book an appointment with my chiropractor, I don't need to talk to anybody in the office to do that. I just right. want to be able to make a phone call or get a text back, confirm it, get it booked, be done with it. I don't need that interaction. But that's if I'm right. looking for a brand new chiropractor and I've never met anybody yes. before and I want to understand what's going on, I might like to talk to somebody a little bit and understand a little bit about the practice and how they do things so that I can set my own expectations. And 100%. I don't see that part changing when it comes to sales personally.
Yeah. Well, sales is a dance, right? And
it is.
You're either in rhythm or you're not. And I find, to your point with the agents, you know, at the end of the day, they're a robot. There's no energy. There's no passion. There's none of that that creates the rhythm within the salesperson, the prospect, and the salesman or woman. And so that's why I think, like, same reason with video, why I would not use an agent or a clone of me on video, because I believe yeah. that with video, we have an ability to show our heart and our passion and who we are and connect on a heart-to-heart level. And it doesn't matter how advanced technology will be, we will never be able to replace that heart-to-heart connection. And that's what I believe as human beings we came to do. We came to connect with one another. Mm-hmm. And that's what sales is about. And so I'm with you. I think that we can incorporate AI in ways to help us take 80% of the heavy lifting off, but the most important parts, so that we can do the most important parts, and that's get in front yes. of more people with that heart-to-heart connection.
Yeah, I think that's what's absolutely critical and important. I couldn't agree more. Well, Violet, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, having this conversation. I could go on for a lot longer, but I want to be respectful of your time and our audience's time. Violet, if people are interested in learning more about how you're helping sales agencies, yeah. what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, they can follow me on LinkedIn, Violet Rainwater. They can email me, violet@therainmakersway.com. I have workshops that I teach monthly on AI and sales. And so if they're looking to just kind of get started or get their team started, this would be the most cost-effective way for them to get going and really start making it rain in their business.
I love it. I love it. Well, again, thank you for your time. It's been a pleasure getting to know you over the last number of months, and look forward to continuing to interact and work with you in the future. So cool to see how you're embracing and pulling everything in. So thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. I loved being on this, and I always love connecting with you and picking your brain, even though I hate that term. I'm like, what would Jonathan do in this situation?
Anytime. Well, and if you've been listening to us or watching, however you've been taking the podcast, we want to thank you for your time. We wouldn't be here without you. We really appreciate your feedback. We would love it if you'd subscribe and give us a 5-star review or a thumbs up, depending on your platform. We'd be grateful as well. With that, make it a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.